All right, thank you for that. If you don't mind, we could stand one more time. We read the scripture together. We'll read it. We'll pray. We'll let you be seated. Jeremiah chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. And we'll start in verse number 5. We'll read to 13 together. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 5. Jeremiah 2 and verse number 5. I'll start. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priests said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see, and send under Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Again, we pray you'd bless our short time together. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we talked about taking the ultimate test taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We saw that if we would let God give him a chance in our life, we saw what he could do in our lives. We also saw what could hinder us from doing that. This week's message will basically tie into that. Because a lot of times when we don't settle for the real thing, we have a tendency to settle for substitutes. And substitutes are no, substitutes are no substitutes for the real thing, but that would be redundant. Okay? They're a bad knockoff for the real thing. Every year, pretty much every year, our group of our kids take a trip to Cambodia. Okay, and when they go to Cambodia, there's usually two or three of my kids that go every time. They always come back with a boatload of stuff they bought in Cambodia, and it's all high end. My daughter Allison bought me a Gucci bag for my laptop to bring to work. Now, I know one thing. Gucci bags don't cost $10. Okay? Whatever she paid for it. I know after about two months, the Gucci bag fell apart. Stitching was coming out, and I'm like, okay, that's just garbage. Someone bought me a pair of Oakley sunglasses. Okay? I could just tell by the way they were shaped and everything, they're not Oakleys, and they scratched. Brother Vong bought me a Bose speaker. I use it in my office, right? It's a Wi-Fi speaker. First of all, when it comes on, the lady speaks in a foreign accent. Bluetooth connected. I'm like, okay, that's not how it is. By the way, the thing doesn't work very good either, okay? It looks great. When you look at it, I've been my wife at the, we'll walk through those, one of those malls with the knockoff malls. Not that one. Whatever. They're supposed to be the scratch and dent. We walk into the Bose shop, and I'm like, that's the one I have. Brother Vong said it costs $5. That one costs $500, okay? Not the same thing. And so those are substitutes because we're too cheap to get the real thing. But settling for a substitute is not very satisfying. That's like being starving and wanting dinner and eating cotton candy. Seems like a good idea, but it's not because it doesn't fill. Satisfaction only comes by taking the real thing and avoiding substitutes. As we looked here in the book of Jeremiah, he was a prophet to Judah in the years prior to the time when they were going to be taken into captivity because of their rebellion against God. He confronted them what was wrong with them. He pictures their life as an unfaithful wife. And so that's what the whole book is about. They're getting ready to go into that 70-year captivity. And so he's talking to them about that. God is puzzled, if you read through Jeremiah, about the fact that his people would not choose to stay with him, but would choose to accept fake substitutes. And by the way, many of us do that in our lives today also. We choose things that are a substitute for God that really are not very good. And this morning, I want to put my finger on a few things that maybe we're buying in to taking this substitute, which keeps us from doing what we said we were supposed to do last week, which is taking the ultimate taste test and getting a hold of the real thing. Knowing what the problem is half of the solution. Many years ago, there was a man named Charles Steinmetz. He worked for General Electric. He was a brilliant engineer. And so Henry Ford had these huge machines on his assembly line, and he had one that his men could not fix. And they couldn't find the problem, and they worked for weeks. Finally, Ford heard about this guy, and he hired him to come in from General Electric. Said, "Why don't you come in and find the problem?" The guy just asked for a pen, notepad, and a piece of chalk. He walked around for about a day. Finally, after walking around for a day, he asked one of the guys that was with him, said, let me have a ladder. He got a ladder. He walked up to the top of one of the machines. He took the chalk out, and he put an X. And he told him, he goes, "Open the machine up right there," and he explained what the problem is. "It'll be right inside of there, and you can fix it, and we're all good." And he walked away. Well, he sent Henry Ford a bill for $10,000, which was quite a bit of money in that day. Henry Ford was upset. So he notified him and said, "Don't just send me a bill for $10,000. That's a lot of money. Send me an itemized list of why it's going to cost $10,000. He said, "Okay." So he sent him a list, and it had two lines. The first line said, "Marking X on the generator, $1. Knowing where to mark the X on the generator, $9,999. Identifying the problem helps us to find the solution. So what's the solution for us? Why is it that we choose that which we know is not best for us? That which doesn't satisfy. It's like everybody wants to exercise and hit the gym, but yet we can never find time to get to the gym, but we find time to go to the 5 restaurants in the same place as the gym on a regular basis. What? Yeah, it is good. The food's good. Okay, listen, a cheeseburger and a treadmill, cheeseburger wins every time. But we know what the problem is. Why do we struggle? Well, let me give you some of the problems here that cause us to settle for a substitute. First of all, because we do not seek that which is genuine. Look at verse 6. He said, "Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us out of Egypt?" They were falling for false gods. And one of the problems is, he goes, why won't you ask, where is the God that, why don't you ask, where's the genuine God? Where's the real God? How come that's not important to you? Even with all the judgment that was going on in their life, even with all the nonsense that was coming, they still would not seek that which was real. They had not only settled for a substitute, they weren't even interested in that which was genuine. I find a lot of us are like that. We'll settle for just enough to make us feel better about ourselves, without really getting that which is best. And the fact of the matter is, the problem is, we don't realize what we're missing out on when we do that. We talked about that last week. How many of you are colorblind? I'm colorblind. Okay? I mean, we went up to the Grand Coulee Dam. It's the third largest dam in the world, I think, maybe third or fourth. And what they do is, when it turns dark, they turn the water on, it comes over the dam, and they play a laser light show. And it kind of tells the history of the dam and the Columbia River. And our family went there, and it's neat. And I loved it. And we're driving home from there, and I'm like, man, all the beautiful colors. And my daughter said, Dad, there was only two colors. I'm like, no, there wasn't. There was like all kinds of different colors. And they're all like, Dad, there was only two colors. And I'm like, man, it pays to be colorblind. But they came out with these things. I don't know if you've heard of them. They have these glasses that you put on if you're colorblind, and you can see what you've been missing. How many of you have heard of that? My kids showed me that, and I saw the video, and this one guy puts them on, and he started crying. He said, I never realized it was like this. And my children are like, Dad, would you like to look through one of those glasses? I'm like, no, because then I'd spend the rest of my life thinking, man, I got to look at this. Okay. But he didn't know, he didn't realize what he was missing out on until he saw the real thing. Listen, why don't we just desire the real thing in the first place? Why do we have to get all these substitutes for God? That's our motivation. Number two, another problem is they didn't want to hear the genuine. Look at verse 8. Not only did they not say, where is the Lord? It says the priest said not, where is the Lord? See, back then, they had the law books, but they weren't as accessible today because, of course, they didn't have printing presses and all that. So a majority of where they would hear the word of God would come from the priests, the religious leaders. But they were so apostate that even their religious leaders weren't saying, where's the Lord? They didn't want the genuine. So they were purposely putting themselves under someone who wouldn't tell them the truth. Now, let me say this. One of the reasons that would fly is because they didn't demand to want to hear the truth. They had enough of the truth to know when these priests would get up and lie to them to say, that's not true. But you know what? They didn't care. They didn't really want to hear it. Isn't that how we are? We don't like to hear the truth. I'll say this and you might get mad, but I'm not being political here. But there's just a recent thing that went through and they're trying to do these tax cuts. And someone sent me a video, and I saw a video, and this guy went to, I think it was George Washington University, and he asked all the students, what do you think about the tax cuts, the Trump tax cuts? And they all said they hate it. Then the guy said, you know, Bernie Sanders has these tax cuts that he proposed. Let me tell you about them, and what do you think about his plan? And he went point by point and told all these different students his plan. And they all said, those are good. And then at the end he said, let me just tell you something. That wasn't Bernie Sanders' tax plan. That's the one that just passed. They were making judgment on something they hadn't even wanted to hear about. But as Christians, we're like that too. We don't want to hear the truth. Because if we think that if we could just ignore it, then it's not going to be effective in our life. Listen, you ought to want to hear the truth. If you're ill and you went to the doctor and there was something they can fix if the doctor told you the truth, would you rather have the doctor tell you the truth or lie to you? If you come in, you know, your arm is snapped right here and the doctor says, there's nothing wrong here. Have a sucker and you can leave. Listen, I want him to say, you know, it shouldn't have been there. We have to do something now to fix this. Do we really desire to hear the truth? They had got to the point where they didn't want to hear that which is true. The reality of it is that a lot of time we don't want to hear it because if the truth be told, you know what the problem is in most of our lives? It's us. I heard a story of a pastor one time. They were having a revival meeting. At the first revival, he said, man, America is messed up. He goes, I want all of you this tonight. He goes, just go home and write on a piece of note what you think the biggest problem is that's keeping America from being what it should be. What is the biggest problem in our country? And of course, the next day he got all these notes, but he got one from one of his church members, and it just said this, dear pastor, the problem is me. He was personalizing it. We just don't want to hear it sometimes. Third, it's because we simply don't want to keep that which is genuine. Look at verse 11. It says, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. You know, God is saying, he goes, listen, can you change your God for a God that's not even real? For them, they would worship a piece of stone or a piece of wood or something out in the heavens or some star. And God goes, why would you change me for something that's not profitable because it's not legitimate and it's not real? By the way, false God is one of the big ones, right? It's in God's list of the 10. Thou shall have no other gods before me. Now, we're really sophisticated in our time. We don't worship a statue. We don't worship something. But we have gods. Our gods are different. Because, see, a god is something that we put our security in. A god is something we get our satisfaction from. A god is something which gives us our significance. And anything we get those from that's not the real God is a false God, whether or not it's a fake deity or not. Some people, their work is their God. And by the way, you ought to work. Nothing wrong with work. And you ought to work hard. And you ought to be a great employee. But our life cannot be built around our work. Some people, and it's getting easier to say no, sports is their God. I get so sick, and I'll just stand here for a minute. I get so sick of them pushing some leftist, non-American garbage agenda down my throat through a football or a basketball game. Just because you can slam dunk or throw a football doesn't mean you can tell me how to live. Okay? And most of it's nonsense. But most people, that's their God. There's some people, football season comes, they might as well come up and shake my hand and say, I'll see you in January. Unless you're a Raider fan, then your season ends a lot earlier. I'm kind of mad because I'm a Rams fan, and usually the season's over after the third week, and man, they're hanging on. But listen, I like sports, but you know what? I'm getting a little turned off by it. I just don't want just go out there and throw a football and be quiet. Now, you have you can vote and all that stuff. I get it. But some people, it's too important in their life. That's everything. It's everything. Some people, other people are their God. For a lot of people, money is their God. It says in God we trust in our money. Some people are just confused what that means. Some people, their hobby. And by the way, in and of their self, none of these things are wrong. They're only wrong when they take the top priority in our life. Okay? When they come before God, it's wrong. If they're in their place, everything's fine. Some people are their own God. They figure out everything. Next, we also swallow the substitute when we don't follow that which is genuine. Verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fount of living waters." That word forsaken is pretty strong, you know? You ever hear about deadbeat dads, okay? Something happens, the marriage ends or whatever. They never see their children. They don't pay any money towards helping to take care of them. And it's like, that's forsaken. But they've forsaken God. Forsaken means to leave, to loose, to depart from. Really, all these things that he mentions here, he says, you know what happened? You've just basically forsaken me. See, that's harsh. Here's the point with that. I think if you've forsaken God, you probably wouldn't be here this morning. But when we forsake God, it usually comes in small steps. We start slowly going the wrong direction. I know many people. I mean, I've been here for 28 years now, 29. I'll figure it out myself, and I'll let you know in a minute. But they over the years, and these were people that were solid and loved God, and things were going well, and they would have told you 10, 15 years ago, I would never forsake God, and yet now God's not a part of their life. They could care less. Yeah. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's steps. By the way, we always, it's like in a marriage, right? You ever have people that have trouble in their marriage and they'll say things like, we've grown apart. It's grown cold. 30-second commercial. That's why you ought to go to the couples retreat. Okay, we'll help you fire that thing up, all right? But they we're starting to drift apart. And then if it gets to the worst extreme, now they're starting to break up. Now they're starting to split up. Listen, that's not where they started out on that day that they said, I do. But it happened because there were small little things that came in that were not taken care of. And it just a little more distance. And next thing you know, they don't even know each other. And the little things that should just be little problems, you fight your way through and you fix, now are so big they can't even fix them. Why? Because there's a distance. There's been a forsaking. We do that with God. Let's be very careful. If you start to feel a little coldness in your heart, that's the time to do, what do I got to do to get this fixed? Maybe there's some things you know you should be doing and you're doing less of it. That's the problem right there. And then the last thing is this. They simply didn't accept that which was genuine. He says, for they have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. God pictures himself as the pure, clean fountain water for them. But when they forsook them, now they have to accept something else that's not genuine. And hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Instead of wanting the true fountain, the living waters, they said they wanted something that was a broken bowl to hold the waters. See, he says, I'm the fountain of the waters. I'm the source. But instead of the source, you've forsaken me and you've settled for a little bowl you've made for yourself just to hold a little water, and it's broken and it can't even hold the water. I'd rather be at the source. Do I want a cup of water or do I want to be in the well? I'd rather be in the well. I'd rather be at the fountain. But yet they're accepting this, and it's like, this is all the water I need. And God's like, listen, that's a little bit of water in a bowl, but you're not even keeping it. It's just leaking out. We don't accept that which is genuine. We choose things that are not helpful. We choose things that we replace God with and think, well, this is enough spirituality for me. This is enough what I need, and there's no water in it, and you're still thirsty, and it's not working. We purposely are accepting something which is not true. Now, we all have a choice. We can have the real, true, and living God as a part of our life. Or we can settle for some false, cheap, substitute that doesn't work, that doesn't fulfill. Okay? What are you accepting? All of us can stop and think of our life. Am I really getting all out of this life and my relationship with God that I should have? Now, none of us are perfect. I understand that. But you know what I'm saying. But if you're like, you know, there was a time when I think I had more, maybe you're starting to accept a substitute. I don't know about you, I want the real thing. And I don't mean Coca-Cola, okay? I want the real deal. Give me, look, an all-beef hot dog or whatever it is they throw in that little thing and it's, the 97 cent and you get 100 of them. I don't want that. Give me the real deal. Don't settle for a substitute. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll never see if the Lord is good if you're eating something over here that's garbage. Yeah. Let's stand together this morning.